Well, that's on for discussion anyway.
Yes, I know that's what
I'm saying.
Over the internet.
Good morning. This is Commissioner Susan Wiefald. It's Wednesday, April 9th, 2008, 10 a.m. The commission is meeting for its regularly scheduled meeting in the commission hearing room, State Capitol, 12th floor in Bismarck, North Dakota. With me are my fellow commissioners, Commissioner Tony Clark and Commissioner Kevin Kramer. I'll first go to Commissioner Tony Clark to see if he has any welcoming comments.
Just good morning and welcome.
Commissioner Kramer.
Good morning. Welcome. Special welcome to Cheryl Bears and welcome, Cheryl. Cheryl is a candidate for the Public Service Commission. Appreciate your interest. Thank you. With that, I move passage of items in the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye. First, we'll go to the items in my portfolio. Starting with SW1, I move the commission adopt the stipulation and agreement filed by the parties on August 20th, 2007, grant the North Dakota Large Industrial Users Group's motion to withdraw from the proceeding, and acknowledge the effectiveness of Otter Tail's revised large commercial time of day rate scheduled filed January 26, 2007, in case number PU073.
Second.
On August the 20th, the parties, which were the North Dakota Otter Tail Power, Large Industrial Energy Group and the Otter Tail Power Company, filed a stipulation and agreement with the commission. In that stipulation and agreement, they said that they were in agreement on adopting the, on adopting the revised large commercial time of date rate schedule, which had been filed January 26, 2007, in case number PU073. Then the parties, they also stipulated that the North Dakota Large Industrial Users would be withdrawing from the proceeding, and they determined, in as they said in this settlement, that on part three, if such withdrawal is without prejudice to the Large Industrial Energy Group to challenge any then existing time of day rate in Otter Tail's next North Dakota general rate case. And they said that they anticipate that Otter Tail will be filing a case sometime in 2008. And they also said in number three, if the commission allows this currently proposed time of day rate to take effect, which is what's happened, Otter Tail will not assert that the commission decision has any procedural precedential value. Procedural value or whatever, and further agrees that the appropriate time of day rate will be determined based solely on the record established in the general rate case. So everything seems to be in order for this, basically a procedural motion today.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Now that I've stumbled through that one, we'll go on to the next. This is the April 9th, 2008 fuel cost adjustment. The commission does not approve. We only discuss and announce. For Montana Dakota Utilities, their fuel cost adjustment for April 2008. MDU's total average cost of fuel and purchased energy for billing during April will cost 2.530 cents per kilowatt hour. And as a result of this change, the electric bill for a typical MDU residential customer consuming 750 kilowatt hours per month will increase by 46 cents for bills rendered in the month of April. So the price, the cost of fuel for MDU's electric customers this month will be 2.53 cents per kilowatt hour. Next, we'll go to Otter Tail's. Otter Tail's total average cost of fuel and purchased energy for billing during the month of April will be 4.75 cents per kilowatt hour. And as a result of this change, the electric bill for a typical Otter Tail residential customer consuming 750 kilowatt hours per month will decrease by $2.48 for bills rendered in the month of April. So as you can see, this is a small decrease for Otter Tail customers. It's It's good news. It's better than it going up again. The decrease will be more for those people who use more electricity in the month than 750 kilowatt hours, those customers who use electricity for their heat from Otter Tail. You can see there is still a large difference between MDU's fuel cost, which is 2.53 cents per kilowatt hour, and Otter Tail's, which is 4.75 cents per kilowatt hour. So we anticipate that this high price for Otter Tail's residential customers for their fuel cost will continue for one more month, and then it should decrease from information we have been given by Otter Tail. Moving on to SW3. Again, this is only a discussion item, and not the commission will not be voting on this at this time. We're making this as an announcement. Montana Dakota Utilities Company has a margin sharing adjustment, and that is in relationship to a case, an electric rate case that was held, and the decision was in PU08118. They have requested to change their off-system sales margin sharing adjustment, and the order, which I referred to, requires MDU to share its off-system sales margins with customers, 85% going to customers and 15% going to MDU. MDU's current rate structure assumes that North Dakota ratepayers' share of margins is $6.5 million per year. However, off-system sales margins fell short of the base amount by $2,978,337 during 2007. What this means is that when Montana Dakota Utilities makes money selling electricity to other wholesalers in the year, North Dakota customers get dollars back, a refund from MDU. When MDU does not sell as much wholesale power into the system, and that's what happened this last year, their sales margins fell short, then North Dakota ratepayers have to pay money to MDU to make up the difference. The monthly electric bill for an average MDU residential customer consuming 750 kilowatt hours per month will increase 15 cents per month as a result of this change that the commission is announcing today. That means that each month, a total now of $1.20 a month for will be the amount of money that customers are paying into this fund. That's for an average user of 750 kilowatt hours a month.
Just to clarify that, anytime MDU makes a dollar, customers in the off-system sales, customers get 85% of that sale, 85 cents of the dollar. When the commission set these rates, we assumed a certain level of MDU revenue. We could certainly set the level lower, but what would happen is base rates would go up.
Right.
So although it may look from month to month like customers are sort of paying into a fund to make them whole, in fact, what happened was is the commission actually lowered MDU's base rates to allow sort of for an average year, and then there's an adjustment mechanism that goes from there on forward. But every dollar that's made, customers get 85 cents of it.
All right, that ends the items in my portfolio today. Commissioner Kramer.
Thank you. I have a couple of motions related to the five-year renewal of a coal mining permit for American Coaloid, beginning first with the revision, and then I'll go to the renewal. KC1. I move the commission approve revision number 6 to surface coal mining permit number ACPG9701 held by American Coaloid Company for the Page and Perkins mines to identify the next 5-year coal removal subareas within the permit area and to update other information and plans in the permit.
Second.
Obviously, this again, as I said, is related to the next 5-year renewal. The plan identifies the new removal subareas, updates the legal, financial, ownership, surface water, mining, reclamation plans, and, of course, sets the new worst-case scenario for setting the new bond. American Coaloid, of course, mines leonardite, about 50,000 tons per year down in Bowman County, Leonardite is in high demand, I suppose, these days because the oil industry is doing so well, and it is often used as a viscosity agent in drilling for oil as well as other soil agents. So everything seems to be in order.
And this estimate shows that the current bond amount was increased from $850,000 to $1,092,000. So it did go up.
Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And they do have the bond in place to meet that. So KC2, I move the commission approve renewal number 2 to surface coal mining permit number ACPG9701 held by the American Coaloid Company for the Page Mine to extend the permit term for another 5 years until April 22nd, 2013.
Second.
All in favor?
This is just the companion motion to the other one, which was the renewal always follows the other.
Mixed signals from the commissioners.
All right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And then KC3 is just the discussion of NSP's cost of gas adjustment. They're decreasing the cost of gas by 52.89 cents per decatherm for April, changing the residential customer cost of gas from about 973 to 920 per decatherm. This will affect a typical April customer by lowering the cost of gas and bill by about $3.07 compared to last month and about $10.15 higher than April of last year. It should be noted, however, that the commodity cost of gas actually increased as a result of, you know, higher demand than we'd like to see sometimes, I guess, because it has been cold in many parts of the country, including parts of the West. But the decrease is due completely because of the decrease in pipeline costs, which is simply an annual event. Their rider changes from April through October to a summer demand rider, and it's a little better deal for the transportation of the gas, which is costing more. That ends the items in my portfolio.
All right. We go next to Commissioner Clark.
Item TC1, I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in the application of Polar Communications Mutual Aid Corporation for certificates of public convenience and necessity to provide facilities-based incumbent local exchange services in the Gilby, Lakota, Fordville, Edmore, Adams, Pembina, and St. Vincent exchanges in North Dakota, case number PU0885.
Second.
This is just a notice of opportunity for hearing. I guess I don't anticipate that we'll have any requests for it. It's kind of a paperwork matter more than anything else. Polar, a number of years ago, picked up the exchanges that I noted in the motion. They had been operating it as a separate subsidiary some time ago. They rolled those exchanges into their traditional Polar Communications family, I guess you'd say, from a legal standpoint. And so what needs to happen is that new certificates of convenience and public necessity or public convenience and necessity need to be issued in the names of those particular exchanges, but they have been operating them for some time.
So I have a question on this. So they have, the merger is not what we're voting, going to be discussing in this notice of opportunity for hearing, because that already occurred on January 1st of 2005.
Well, right. I think they had even had the exchanges prior to that, but what happened is they had changed their kind of how they incorporated those exchanges at about that time frame, and then in looking at the paperwork, they realized that they needed to update and reflect in their certificates that they were operating those not under the subsidiary but now under just the entire company.
So basically, the commission needs to approve that merger, isn't that correct?
We don't have jurisdiction to approve mergers, we do have jurisdiction to grant or deny PCNNs or entities.
All right, so if we didn't grant the PCNN, though,
we
then
never
the merger
asked.
Wouldn't be effective, would it?
We have no comments on mergers. I mean, we don't have any legal opinions and we don't have any jurisdiction on the merger.
They come out of the Attorney General's opinion back in the SRT deal. Yeah.
We have to, companies have to have a certificate of public convenience and necessity, and that's our job to grant or deny. And this is a request for that. It is a late request, and I think it's probably one of the ones we discovered in our vast examination of the docketing system. Two different company names, I think, was what was happening, and then we realized what they had done. And I don't know if Pat's here, but I think I recall that's how it came to light, the need for the certificate of public convenience and necessity.
But generally, we do it at the same time that the merger.
Or before.
Yes.
Right, we generally do.
Okay, thank you.
Although I've noticed that even with some of the change of ownership in some of our other infrastructure, if you will, pipelines and whatnot, if we didn't catch it after the sign goes up, there'd never be a transfer of the PCNN. You know, I don't know what.
That's true.
If they haven't quite caught on. But at any rate, it's interesting.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I didn't see items in my portfolio.
All right. That ends the items on today's agenda. Generally, if the press are here, we take questions at this time. There are no press here today. Does anyone have a question for the commission at this time? All right. Then the commission will adjourn for 5 minutes, and we will come back together at 25 after 10 for our admin portion of our meeting. Everyone is invited to stay for admin as well. And we will do signing in the meantime. And so we'll close this portion of the meeting, go off the internet for a few minutes, and then come back on for our admin meeting. Thank you.